I'll be reading from the New King James Version this morning. Reading coming from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through the end of the chapter, which is verse 17. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Again, it's good to see each one here this morning, and we have some here that were not here earlier, and we're glad you were able to make it to the services this morning. James just read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, those verses that talks about the Word of God. Paul, in writing to the young preacher Timothy, encouraged him to stay with the words that he had known from the Scriptures, to stay with the things that Paul had taught him, which were from God. This morning, we begin a two-part lesson on the Bible, the importance of the Bible, and how the Bible, it proves itself within its very pages, that it is real, that it's true, that it's from the Word of God. Yet, we were also looking at some things this morning that proves that outside evidences also prove the Bible to be true and authentic. The geological discoveries, the archaeologists that have looked at things and historical facts that are presented down through the ages, down through the centuries, those in parallel with the Bible, prove that the Bible is the Word of God. And so today we need the Word of God. We need to believe the Bible. And yet so many people continue to try to take the Bible out of homes, out of our hands, out of society in general. It's already been taken out of many places where governments have rule and authority, and they make that rule and say the Bible will not be, have no part in this, the Bible will not be read in this. And so the Word of God is hated by the world. But yet many men down through the ages have tried to come up and write books or come up with ideas that they could put together that would help solve issues, and yet all of them have failed. And so the fact of the matter is that the Word of God is just that. It is God-breathed. It is inspired. The Bible will help us in every aspect of life, as individuals, in families, in society, in business, in government, nation around nation, people around people. The Bible will help us solve the problems we have. It will give us the answer to any question that we may have that is an essential question. I made the statement this morning that there are people, it seems, that always try to come up with some question that they think that cannot be answered by the Bible. And of course, I refer to that as the fact that if they have a question that is not answered in the Bible, then it doesn't need to be answered anyway, because God answers all the questions that we need to know the answer to. And so as terms as far as how we're to live our life, how we're to treat others, how we're to function in society, what we must do to be saved, what we must do to stay saved, what we must do to please Him, what we must do to treat our fellow man and others in the right way. So God gives us the answers. We just need to follow through. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we go back and Paul warns Timothy in verse 13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so when you look at not just the religious aspect of things, but the world in general and men, mankind in general, you see that men and women are being deceived by impostors, by people who say that What we're telling you is the truth, yet they tell us a lie and try to make us believe it's the truth. And he says there'll be men that'll come in. And he's talking about preaching in the church and teaching things for people about spiritual things, but it applies in every aspect of life. There are those who are imposters, who think in their own mind that they know the right thing, that they know the answers, and they try to impose those things on us. But he told Timothy there, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So the world in general, there are people that are deceived themselves into thinking that the books they've read or the things they've thought or the things they've listened to by others is leading them to the right direction, or they've conjured up in their own mind that they think they know everything that's right, and they want to impose that on us to make us believe that that's the right way to go. But he goes then and says in verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is what we're talking about, the Word of God, the Bible. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul warned Timothy that you need to stay with the Word of God. The things you learn from your mother and your grandmother, the things you've learned in the Scriptures and the things you've heard from me, hold on to these things, Timothy. Why? Because there's going to be people that are going to come in and try to impose things on you and on the church and on others that are not right. So we need the Bible. Society today needs to receive the Word of God and receive the answers that are found there so we can have solutions to the problems we have. They're all there. The answers are there if we just look. The problem of wrongdoing, the problem of theft, the problem of murder, the problem of broken marriages, the answer to that, the cure to that is in the Bible. The problem of being deceived on what to do to be saved, the answer is in the Bible. And so Paul warns him. And then he goes on and says in verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Word of God is what we're talking about this morning in our second lesson, sermon lesson this morning. The importance of me and you adhering to the Word of God, studying it and learning it, and not letting other people lead us away from it, and sharing it with others that they too may know the truth. It's not just that Paul wrote this in the latter part of the first century, mid to the latter part of the first century to Timothy. The fact we go back hundreds of years before that to the book of Psalms, and we can see how important the Word of God was. We read from Psalms 119 this morning a few verses, and I continue in verse 98. Psalms 119, verse 98. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. The psalmist is talking about the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God in the life of the writer and the life of everyone who will receive it. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. So what is it we need to be meditating on today? The Bible. What is it that people need to turn to and learn and meditate on? The Bible. Why? So we can become wise as God would have us to be wise, and not be foolish because we're trusting in the wisdom of men, because the wisdom of men is foolishness that we studied about this morning. Verse 100 of Psalms 119. I understand more than the anxious because I keep your precepts. See again the importance of the Word of God. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. What does the Word of God do for us? It tells us which way to go and which way not to go. It shows us how to restrain ourselves from going down the wrong path and how to direct ourselves in the right path. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14, there's a straight and narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Why? Because the broad way and the wide gate leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. The Word of God is needed to direct people in the paths of righteousness, in the right way, so they can know what to do. And then verse 102 of Psalms 119. I have not departed from your judgment, for you yourself have taught me. Everyone needs to be taught of God. How much better would I be and everyone else be if we're being taught of God and not on man's rules? Man can teach the Word of God, but when man teaches man's rules and man's philosophies and man's ideals, and brings them down on people and binds them on people, we get into trouble because man's wisdom is foolishness. God's wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above, is that which Paul preached and the others preached and which we have in this book, the Bible. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. More people today in society and around the world would learn to hate sin if they knew what sin was and what truth is. And we learn that where? From the Word of God. We go down to verse 105 now and go through verse 108, and I'll stop reading from this chapter, Psalm 119. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. So this morning, we continue talking about the Bible, the inspired Word of God, the importance of it, and evidences that prove outside the Bible that it is certainly the Word of God. We talked about the archaeological discoveries, the things in historical facts that are discussed in the Bible that have been proven outside the Bible. And so the Bible is true to itself. It's true to men because it comes from God. So it's the truth. The Word of God is truth. So let's continue talking about some evidence that the Bible is inspired of God, other than what we read in the Bible. Scientific foreknowledge in the Bible proves that it is inspired of God. The Bible reveals knowledge of scientific facts that were not discovered by man until centuries later, centuries after. The Word of God knew all of that, and then man begins to realize that, hey, you know what? This is real. This is talked about in the Bible. For instance, life is in the blood. We learn in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, it just simply say that the life is in the blood. How many years, how many centuries, how many times long did it take man to realize that life is in the blood and actually scientifically say, you know what? Life's in the blood. You know, we have blood transfusions. And if someone has a bleed, they try to stop it. We're taught how to put pressure on it, or how to tie something around one of our arm or leg if there's a bad cut an artery, how to cut it off and then let it go back so it don't you don't lose that limb getting help. Why? Life is in the blood. The Bible teaches that. It came from where? From God. Man learned that, but God knew it all the time. The Word of God then proves that certainly what man learned over time, that God knew from the very beginning and tells us in His Word that life is in the blood. Shape of the earth, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. We hear and we read about historical things about men saying, and we hear about men, well, we're afraid to set out sail on the ocean that way because we're going to go off the end of the earth. It's flat. Well, over time, they learned that the earth certainly is a circle, that it's not flat. But God knew that all the time. The Word of God tells us that the entire time. Isaiah 40, verse 22. Man spent years and years believing that the earth was flat, but the Bible said it was a circle. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. The Lord sits on the circle. He's above the circle of the earth. Matter of fact, He made that. All the planets. He made everything. So the Bible is the Word of God. Man didn't come up with that. Man discovered it, but God knew it the whole time. That's the difference. Scientific foreknowledge in the Bible, number of stars. We hear from time to time, we have a good friend that works. He had something to do with the Hubble telescope. He goes to church at the Seminole Grove, and he's done a lot of work on that and the mirrors that go on it and all that kind of stuff. And over years, he would keep me in contact about what they've discovered. Another star, another bunch of stars. And then they've got the point that there's a galaxy out there so far, we can see that there's light out there, there's galaxies out there, there's stars out there, but we have no idea How many is that? The man admits that. God knew that the whole time. He, Jeremiah 33 and verse 22, we can turn there and read. We see that God knew that the whole time. And when we see that, certainly the Bible tells us these things, it proves even more the fact that the Word of God is from God and not from man. There have been guesses of how many stars there might be, believed to be at one time in the thousands and then the millions and the trillions, and believed, and then they finally said, we just don't know. It's infinity. So we don't know. But God knew the whole time that we cannot, you know, man does not, he's not able to number the stars. God knows. He knows the hairs on our head. But some other things, scientific foreknowledge, sanitation laws, that it took man over time to learn that, you know what, you need to separate your human waste from where you're sitting. You need to set your tent up over here and put your human waste over there, and then you bury it. But God knew that the whole time. He made man. And so the laws in the Bible prove that the Bible is something that's more knowledgeable than what man has learned. Man has learned that, but he's taught through the fact that God knew it the whole time. Sanitation laws, such as not eating animals that die a natural death, Leviticus chapter 11. They were allowed to kill certain animals. They gave the detailed number and description of which ones could be slaughtered for food and the process of it, and which ones couldn't. But the Bible is proved scientific knowledge that's been learned by men. The Bible, God knew this all the time. And then such things as not eating scavenger animals. The Bible talks about that. The book of Leviticus is filled with every aspect of the human aspect of man and woman and cleanliness. Everything of the what animals you can eat and what you can't. Don't eat one that dies of a natural death. Don't eat scavenger animals. The idea of burying human waste that I mentioned a few minutes ago is something that should come natural by man, but God knew it the whole time. God knew it. So the Bible, when scientists say, you know what, it's best to have a waste out of your house and down a pipe and out of the way and through a processing plant before it goes back to the earth to kind of keep down disease, God knew that the whole time. He knew the plan. There's a man sitting on the back pew, and there's some man sitting up here on the second pew, and some others in between that understand the idea of human waste. We all understand that, don't we? But if you ever served in the military, you know that when you go out for an encampment, one of the first things you do when you set up a camp is you assign about 20 men. They go out and they take, and they may, I don't know what they've got now. They probably got all this power for it to get. But anyway, in the days that I knew it, you go out and everyone had a shovel. And there'd be about 20 or 30 men, and you'd shovel a hole. And I can't remember how deep that was. Was it 4 feet by 8 feet and 40 feet long? Yeah, there you go. You don't forget things like that. But anyway, what'd you do? You put human waste in. You use the restroom there. And then you go over here, you got your tent where you sleep, and over here is where you cook, eat separate. But God knew that the whole time, you see. And over a period of time, you go back, if you're there long enough, you cover it up and you dig another. See, God knows all that. And the scientific evidence proves then that the Bible is true, that everything that man has learned, God knew already and taught man. Personal cleanliness, Leviticus chapter 15 through 19. The cleanliness, personal cleanliness of men and women. Personal cleanliness of when there's sickness. Personal cleanliness. So God knew that. And so we teach personal hygiene. And we try to practice that. Some nations around the world are still in bad shape. But they don't have access to the things we have. They don't have the knowledge to know. But the Bible is proven by scientific facts. The Bible is proven by men themselves. And that many of them don't realize that. But the Bible has already covered all these things before man ever finally acknowledges that, yes, we need to do it this way. So these scientific facts were known by our Creator from the word go. He's always been, he always will be. So finally, when society began to acknowledge this and improve things, then what happens? You live in a better situation? Things are better? When? When the word and the laws of God are obeyed. Well, ways to know the Bible is inspired. It is impartial. It is impartial. The Bible is fair. It is exact. And it does not show favoritism or partiality anymore. Can you find a book written by man that does that? The Bible is just that. It's fair to all because it's for all. For every man and woman that ever lived. So they can know God and know His will for them and know what He wants them to be and to become so that they can please God. It's fair. Fair to everyone. The opportunities are for everyone in basic life and in salvation. Unlike the ways and tendencies of man to show prejudice for certain people or causes, the Bible is fair to all. Even today, you don't have to talk to very many people in very many different communities and societies until you hear the word discrimination. Or you hear the word racism. You hear, and people just use those words and they throw them out there and they think they mean something and they think they got a crutch on someone. As soon as they say the word, they think, boy, look what I just said. You know what? God is not a racist. He's not unfair. He's not partial. He's impartial. The Word of God is for everyone. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So there's no partiality with God. He gave His Son for all, that all might be able to have forgiveness of sins. He gave His Word for all men. Acts 10:34, when Peter preached in the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius was a Gentile, the Gentiles had not had an opportunity to be in the family of God, he let them know that there is no partiality with God. Just as we are, Peter and the others, these also can be, because God gave His Son for that. So the Bible is fair, it's exact, and does not show favoritism or partiality. What if people made laws in society in that regard today? What if people in government, officials in government, and people in society and around live according to that? Fair and exact, and does not show favoritism or partiality. What a better world it would be. There would be good and honest judges who couldn't be bought off or influenced by those with the most power. There'd be good and honest lawyers. There'd be good and honest people. You might say, well, Charles, we're going to go that far. We wouldn't even need a justice system or lawyers. Well, the tendency of man, remember, human side, is to go to the flesh that we've been studying about. So there needs to be laws. There needs to be rules, but they need to be impartial. They need to be fair. The Word of God is just that. Fair, exact, and does not show favoritism or partiality to anyone. It's there for the rich, the poor, the great, the small. No matter what color of skin or what segment of society we may be in, salvation is there for all. Matter of fact, Jesus proclaimed in the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? To every creature. Every creature. God is impartial. The Bible is impartial. So, the inspired Bible, based on some things that are proven, based on the proven unity of the Bible. We talked about that this morning. The unity of the Bible. There's not anything in the Bible from front to back that contradicts itself. It is in complete harmony. The writers that lived hundreds of years apart on different continents, in different societies, in different times, who were inspired of God, who gave us God's Word, not one of them contradicted another one at any time in the Word of God. The unity of the Bible. The historical and geographical accuracy of the Bible, we talked about this morning, the Bible has been proven by archaeological discoveries down through the history that have proven that there were societies that the Bible talks about that existed. That there were things like the ark that there were things like seas that dried up. There were things that became deserts that were once lakes. And there were things that changed. The Bible told us that. Historical and geographical actually is proven in the Bible. The inspired Bible is proven by fulfilled prophecy. We talked about some of those prophecies this morning. The prophecies concerning that God made toward the children of Israel. And he sent men to make prophecies to them about what would happen to them if they did not do certain things, and it happened to them. The prophecies that were given to them and told them, if you do not do this, this is going to happen to you, and it was fulfilled. The prophecies for hundreds of years that were given by inspired men from God about his son who would come and be born of a virgin and live and die on the cross, those were fulfilled in Christ in the first century. Fulfilled prophecies proves the accuracy and inspiration of the Bible. Scientific foreknowledge, we've talked about that. Before man really learned and realized these things we just talked about, God knew it already, and he talked about it in his book. It's the Word of God. Impartiality. We hear so much today about that judge needs to be impartial. That policeman needs to be impartial. That dad or that mom needs to be impartial. Those people need to be impartial. We can learn to be impartial if we get to God's Word and study it, who is impartial. We can learn to treat everyone fair and just and right and honest, and as we ourselves are going to be treated. The inspired Bible needs to be believed by me and by you. The old saying goes, I've been preaching to the choir from 9 o'clock to 9:40 and from 10:40 until now. Well, about 10:55 till now. You already knew these things. But look around. Look around at our neighbors, in some cases in our families, in society, in business, in the world. Look around. What do people need today? Well, what the world needs now is love. Well, where do we learn about love from? From the Bible. The greatest love that was ever known. God gave his only son. For me. And for everyone. What the world needs now is love. Sweet love, yes. We had that song back in the 60s, I think. Coco had an advertisement. What the world needs now is love. Sweet love. Remember that? What the world needs now is the Bible. Belief in it, obedience to it. And what's going to result? Love. Love for God, love for truth, love for one another, and love for honesty and openness and rightness and goodness. Because God is love. We need the Bible. Well, the Bible informs us about life, about responsibility, about death and judgment, about heaven and hell. But what is it then? I need to believe the proven facts of the Bible. And when I believe that, I need to share it with others. And by faith, I need to obey it and take the Word of God and show it to other people. What are you doing with the Bible? What am I doing with it? It's more than just a book on a shelf. It's more than just paper and ink. It's the Word of God. It's inspired. Number 500, give me the Bible. I love to sing that song. You carry, you sing along, it's so peppy, and it just builds you up. Singing a peppy song, doesn't it build you up? Singing one with some vigor, some desire, put something into it. Give me the Bible, star of gladness shining. Well, the Bible can pick us up and pep us up and build us up and make us what we ought to be if we'll obey it. If you're here this morning, and you haven't obeyed God's plan to be saved, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, willing to confess Him, repent of your sins, and be baptized, you can leave this building a child of God and receive the blessings that are found through the Word of God. If you're here this morning, and you need the prayers of the brethren, please come while Barry leads us in the invitations.